This morning, I'm talking with the men behind the 3-Minute Film Festival, which is tomorrow night starting at 7 o'clock at the Lensic Performing Arts Center. Jerry Barron and Luke Dorman, welcome to Radio Cafe.
Diana, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. So we'll start. Tell us about the festival and what the audience will see tomorrow night at the Lensic.
Well, we've got 49 movies in about an hour and 50 minutes. And each one of them is 3 minutes or less. They're from all over the world, including 20 that are regional. We had to cull from about 350 entries this year to whittle down to about these 49.
It's a lot of entries.
It's a lot of entries. It's a lot of time to look through them all, and and it can sometimes get really difficult to figure out which ones to show and which ones not to show. So.
When do you start receiving them?
We've already started for next year. So, yeah, it's basically a year-long process, year-round process.
And I think you said these are, some are local, some are national, even international?
Yeah, we get lots of international entries. We're showing lots of, for example, two or three from Spain this year. But we get entries literally from everywhere. We've gotten entries from Iran, we get entries every year from Japan, China, lots of English type stuff. Yeah.
It's a really interesting format, the 3 minutes. It's not much time to tell a story.
I think when we first started the festival, 3 minutes was kind of a short time. But now, because of YouTube, 3 minutes seems like a really long time. So, I'm sure it'll only get longer. Pretty soon that'll be like feature length.
Right. When did you start the festival?
1998.
98. Yeah. And this is your
15th year.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
And a lot of movies.
A lot of movies.
A lot of movies.
Why did you start it?
Why? Wow. That's probably not a good question to answer. I'm just kidding. It was about trying to encourage different sorts of artists to make movies. I figured that it was a good way to, that the format of, just 3 minutes, anybody could get it in their head. I can make a 3-minute movie. So.
And how, Luke, you've been involved the entire time?
No, I've known Jerry for 10 years or a little more, I don't know, a long time. But he started the festival before we knew each other. And I've been more involved for the past, I think, 6 years we've been doing it. 6 or 7 years we've been doing it.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And there are different categories. Can you tell us about the categories?
Well, For prize categories, we kind of there's shift a little bit every year.
Okay.
Depending on the kind of films that we get. But in general, we have comedy categories, animation, experimental. We take all manner of film, it's interesting to see the different kinds of films that come in each year. This year, for instance, it seems like we have more experimental than usual, and a little bit less animation than we usually do. We usually have a pretty good amount of animation in the festival. So,
and these are professionals, amateurs, a mix,
and everything in between. It's I think that's one of my favorite parts of the festival, is being able to mix some kids film classes from Española, for example, with professional feature filmmakers who submit films. So I think that's one of the coolest parts of the festival.
It is a juried festival.
Right.
So you watch every one of these films and decide which ones are worthy. You probably consider a good mix.
Exactly. We have to balance what the best films are to show, and also what's going to be entertaining for the audience to watch. We have to build a good program, that's going to entertain everyone, make it worth their $12 to get in, and that's going to look awesome at the Lensic. All of those sorts of things, kind of build into what we wind up showing.
And people come into the Lensic and sit down, and then they'll be shown 49 films back to back.
Right.
Yeah.
Some of them very short, right? Some of them not 3 minutes long. Is that right?
Not even close. Some of them are maybe, I think we've shown films that are as short as 10 seconds before. I think the shortest one this year is probably more like 20 seconds. But there are multiple, of those sorts of things. And, sometimes those are the most entertaining ones because it's unpredictable, what's going to happen, how it's going to end, why it ended so quickly, those sorts of things.
Yeah, and a lot of times we hear from people that, 3 minutes is such a short amount of time to tell a film, tell a story. But, the fact is you can tell a story in way less than that, and we always use commercials as an example of that. A lot of commercial spots are 15 seconds, 30 seconds, and successful ones do tell a story. And these films can work in that exact same way. So.
And some of those short commercials make a really big impact.
Exactly.
When you talk about them.
Yeah.
I saw on your website you give some recommendations for filmmakers, some tips. And my favorite is something along the lines of, if you don't understand special effects, don't use them.
Right. And, I think that that's something Hollywood could really learn from. I think special effects are very pretty, but unfortunately, if there's no meaning behind them, if there's no story, if there's no humanity behind them, and it's somewhat meaningless and gets really tiring. And I'd much rather watch something that's human and down to earth than something that's purely eye candy.
Narrative, storytelling, the story's still an important part, even in the short format.
Definitely.
At the end of the evening, Saturday night, at the Lensic, you will be giving out awards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we were very lucky to hook up with the New Mexican Pasa Tiempo this year as our primary sponsor, and they've been very good with giving us lots and lots of advertising in the Pasa. But they've also provided terrific prizes from Newman's Nursery and Bios. So we'll be giving out, about a... more than $1,000 worth of gift certificates tomorrow night to the winning filmmakers.
Very impressive. And you've sold out in years past. And the Lensic holds 800 people. That's a popular festival.
Yeah, usually sells out. And, we expect it to do so again this year. So it's important to go out and get your tickets today rather than waiting until, showtime tomorrow night.
And I know the box office opens at 10, so we hope we get a line there.
There you go.
Are you filmmakers yourselves?
I've made movies, and actually Lucas has made more movies than I have, more recently than I have. But I wouldn't ever call myself a filmmaker,
Yeah, I have a 16-month-old now, so
this
I make
is Luke.
A
you
lot
have a 16-month-old,
and a lot of movies to share with family and that sort of thing and edit them together. And, that's my primary filmmaking focus at this point.
You let the baby tell the story?
And it is interesting how you can craft a story around, seemingly random footage that you capture from your child running around the house.
What are you most excited about this year? Is there anything different about the film festival this year?
I think it's going to be interesting to see this many films. Like we said, we have 49, and we've never had that many films before. I think it's going to be an interesting experience for the audience to be able to, take in that much information. I think that, it's kind of overwhelming being confronted with that many stories at once. That'll be kind of a new aspect of the festival.
And people vote at the end, is that right?
Well, we used to have an audience award at the end of each festival, but once we moved over to the Lensic, where we have 850 people sitting down, it became kind of an undoable kind of thing. We tried it the first year, and it was very difficult, and we wound up kind of scrapping that idea. Yeah, I kind of wish we could figure out how to do it, but I've yet to think of a good way. The only thing that I can think of at this point is to come up with some sort of app, and unfortunately, I'm not quite that technically able.
Yeah, we have to switch to some sort of American Idol format or something like that.
Or a clap meter.
A clap meter.
For 49 films, that
right.
would be
yeah, it would take fun. A while.
Can you tell when I'll be in the audience? Can you do some films get a better response or more clapping, more
right,
hooting.
Right. You know, and that's usually how we can tell that we've done a good job is you know, how often people do spontaneously clap. And you know, there's one of the funniest things to me is you know, I have a predilection, I guess, for more experimental and abstract kind of things. And you know, when we do get those kinds of films in, we always debate whether or not, you know, all right, is this going to perplex the audience? And sure enough, you know, there are times, you know, when the audience, you know, does a collective, what was that kind of thing, you know, and you know, to some extent, I think it's okay, you know, but, you know, sometimes I'm like, well, maybe, you know, we shouldn't show that. You know, so.
I think one of my favorite aspects of doing the festival is being able to see the audience's response to everything. And, you know, I'm sure most people can relate to how it's very different watching a film with a large audience or by yourself. And so I just love seeing the responses. The audience is always great. And it's interesting with certain films, like, you know, Jerry and I will watch something and think, oh, that's funny, but we won't actually laugh out loud. And then you put it in this room with 800 people, and, like, you know, people are just laughing and laughing and laughing. And so it's great seeing that sort of response and how it changes the films.
As with all films, it's amazing how they can make you laugh, cry, inspire you.
Yeah.
I go to the Banff Mountain Film Festival almost every year, and mm-hmm. and if you don't like one, the next one's coming along mm-hmm. and might entertain you. Right. Yeah, I'm sure you find that too.
Right, exactly.
Especially in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Are there any that you get when you're screening the films that are shocking or surprising or, you know, out there?
Mainly in, you know, there's, I'm always surprised at how many we get that we don't show, obviously, that we always wonder directly afterward, after the film's over, you know, why did they make that? You know, and so yes, there are, you know, like those movies that I find personally perplexing, and but you know, I guess this is really all down to you know, taste, and you know, it's really just two guys' opinion, and you know, we're not the ultimate arbiters of anything, except for this one little festival. So you know, to each their own, I guess.
Yeah, we always offer up a dialogue with filmmakers once we've completed the jury. We, you know, anyone who didn't make it into the festival, we say, you know, if you want feedback on your film, you know, let us know. And we do our best to try and engage in some sort of conversation to at least give them our perspective as to what was not successful about the film. And usually that can be a good process for us and for the filmmakers.
Right.
Because, like Jerry said, there's things we get that are, like, just kind of confusing as to what the motivation was. And sometimes you get some sort of clarity once you're actually able to speak with the filmmaker. And you go, oh, okay, well, it still didn't work, but, you know, it's nice to have
at least
insight.
We know why.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, because it's about their vision, but also
right.
communicating it to
exactly.
the audience.
Yeah.
If we
yeah.
don't get it,
right.
they're not as successful as they could be.
Yeah, I mean, that's what film is. Film is very good at communicating, you know, and it's there to communicate something to the audience. And it doesn't always work.
Do you both consider yourself film lovers? Do you see a lot of film in Santa Fe? Beyond
yeah.
3 minute
yeah,
films?
Very, very much so. You know, I used to run the Cinematheque at CCA, and before that, you know, you know, I've been coming up with festivals and running film festivals since I was maybe 20 years old or so. So yeah, I've always been a huge fan of movies. So I think I'll always be a huge fan of movies. So.
And Jerry, do you also do the Film Noir Festival? Is that still going
right.
on?
Well, you know, I'm trying to find it a new home. You know, we're trying to figure out what, you know, where it might fit best. We had been doing it at the Screen for a while, and you know, because of the changes there, Brent decided that, you know, we couldn't he couldn't quite keep doing it. It's a very expensive thing to put on because of all of the archival prints and the shipping and all this sort of thing. So I'm basically trying to find a new home, and it's that is a real kind of labor of love sort of thing for me. And So I hope that we can continue doing it.
I hope so, too. Both this festival and that one are really great for our community.
I think so, too.
And do you both work together?
We used to. Now we can hardly be in the same room together.
I can tell by the way you're interacting.
Yeah. We started out as friends. We started a company called Mission Control to do web design and graphic design, that kind of stuff. I'm not even sure when we did that. 2005, I guess. Yeah. And, luckily we've always worked really well together. We found that we actually, wound up joking around more than getting any work done, though, so we had to stop. Yeah.
And Luke does your posters, is that right?
Yeah, I still do all the artwork for the festival and the, layout and ads and all that kind of stuff. So that's been a fun journey for me too. It's been something that I right now do like all digital painting with it, which is not something that I even knew how to do a couple years ago. So every year I learn a little bit more about how to do that stuff.
And your poster's up outside the Lensic. It's looking good.
Thank you.
And are you an artist as well?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Yeah. I mainly do drawing. A lot of pen and ink work. So the earlier posters that I was doing for the festival maintained that sort of style. But we've kind of like tried to push the style and make it kind of fit in with, we draw inspiration from classic posters. This year's Russian constructivist inspired design. And it's nice having the painted look to really kind of like, evoke that that feel.
I can see that the Russian influence. Very cool. Here's a question for our listeners. Is the film festival for, quote, mature audiences? Can you bring your kids, teenagers? Is it appropriate for all ages?
I always say that it depends on, what you let your children watch, that kind of stuff. There's definitely lots of strong language.
Language.
Yeah. And,
hopefully both.
Yes. sexual situations, that kind of stuff, but nothing so outrageous that I don't think a 13-year-old wouldn't be able to handle it. So, it really depends on what you let your children watch. So I would definitely,
And it might inspire your kids to explore filmmaking on their own.
Exactly. That's one of our primary objectives.
If someone wants to enter the festival or make a film like this, do they need fancy equipment these days?
Definitely not. I think that you could make a film with an iPhone. Technical sophistication is not something that we look for in the finished movie at all. It's mainly about whether you're able to entertain and engage, and everything else is besides the point.
Mm-hmm. Which is great. It's a good opportunity for people to get started in it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I was trying to think if we've ever received a film that was shot on iPhone or something like that.
I'm pretty sure that there have been. Unfortunately, I can't remember any particular ones, and there's none in this year's festival.
Do some people go on to continue film careers, to your knowledge?
I can think of one person in particular who had a film years ago called something like Electromagnetic Flight and You. And I know he's someone that stays in touch with the festival, and I know that he works in the industry doing special effects. But since we draw such a wide range of people, there are some people who work in the industry already. Other people, I know that we have people that started out as students and then, or in high school and then have gone into, study film in college. I think we get a whole variety of people, so.
That's true.
How about young people? Do you have any young people in this year's?
Lots and lots. Yeah. We have at least three films from Española High School. The film class there.
They have a really great program, I understand.
Yeah, and those are always really interesting to watch, and those kids really kind of put all of their heart into the film, so it's always interesting to see.
And they'll be there tomorrow night, I assume?
Yes.
The filmmakers and the audience and their friends. And
yeah.
So today's the day to get tickets. You can also get them tomorrow.
Yes, but I would definitely recommend today.
And you will both be there introducing the festival up on stage?
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, not our favorite part, getting up on stage. But,
no, that's just thinking about it makes me a little nervous. Yeah, but
we've done Radio Cafe now. You can do anything. We've been talking with Jerry Barron and Luke Dorman of the 3 Minute Film Festival. Again, it's tomorrow night, Saturday night at 7 at the Lensic. Get your tickets now. You can get tickets at the Lensic's Ticket Santa Fe box office, 988-1234, or go to ticketsantafe.org. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Diana, thank you. You've been awesome.
Thank you. You have too. And I will let you go now, and we're going to take a break in a moment, and I'll be back. Hello again. This is Diana Delling sitting in for Mary Charlotte on KSFR's Radio Cafe. It's time now for our weekly segment, Speaking of the Arts, where we talk about great things to do in the art scene and elsewhere around Santa Fe. Today we have a new Speaking of the Arts guest, someone I like a lot, Candace Walsh. Candace is the managing editor at the award-winning New Mexico Magazine. Good morning, Candace.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming in. I don't even know if you got a coffee yet. I'm really sorry. I meant to get you one.
Oh, that's okay. I'm very excited just to be here, so that'll tide me over.
And you work with Rob DeWall, who's a regular here.
Yes.
So
he's my office neighbor now.
Good to have you here.
Yes.
We are going to be talking about cool things to do, what's going on this weekend.
That's right.
And as everyone knows, we have the 3 Minute Film Festival at the Lensic. I'm going to also tell people about another Lensic event to start us out. Tonight at the Lensic, there is an event sponsored by New Mexico PBS, the Randall Davey Audubon Center, and the Lensic. They will be showing a documentary on hummingbirds.
Oh, wow.
Called Hummingbirds Magic in the Air. It's a show that it's made for the Nature series on PBS. Mm. And it will be followed by a panel discussion featuring birding experts. And it's all about hummingbirds, who are back. I guess I'll call them who are back in Santa Fe these days.
I just love seeing them outside in the morning. It's just a beautiful time of year for that.
It really is.
I want to share something tonight that is somewhat arts related. It depends on whether you think disco is art.
But debatable.
Dance is definitely an art.
Yes.
And in Santa Fe, Studio Nia Santa Fe is having their monthly free Nia jam with a disco theme at 5:45. It's by donation. All the proceeds go to Santa Fe Pride. For those of you who are not familiar with Nia, we wrote about it in March. We had a story about Nia and other healing arts kinds of exercise that are very popular in New Mexico. And Nia is a combination of dance, healing arts, and martial arts. But more than that, it's just a blast. You know how when you go to a wedding like once every 8 years and you're like, I'm dancing, this is fun. Well, it's like that, except you don't have to wait every 8 years.
You kind of free form, do what you want.
There's definitely structure. But there are some bits of free form, so it's just enough to make you feel like less anxious about having to make it up. So that's at 851 West San Mateo on the corner of Lorca, and I just have to say it's a great group of people.
It's at the Neo Studio down there.
Yeah.
And in a great cause.
That's right.
Also.
You can check out more by going to studioneasantafe.com.
Excellent. I think people might have read about this. There's been some press about it lately, but there's a children's production of Les Mis this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Which is a pretty ambitious undertaking for kids.
I would say probably less upsetting than the movie was for kids.
I hope so. Bring your tissues. This Les Miserables production is produced by Creative Arts Music and Performance, CAMP. It's at the Greer Garson Theater. And the performances are 7 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, again, and then 2 p.m. on Sunday.
Great. I want to point out that in Albuquerque this past week and this weekend, there's a really amazing new film festival. And they were the organizers of the Albuquerque Film and Media Experience. They would call it kind of a mix of all sorts of different creative forms. I think they're trying to see what happens when you add a bunch of stuff together. For instance, Robert Redford is very much present and involved with this. It was created by his former assistant, Lainey Quirk. So you can learn more about that at abqfilmexperience.com. There's tons and tons of movies and happenings going on. Tonight there's a conversation with Robert Redford. and another fellow who is involved in American arts, the American arts scene, and that's at the Highland Theater tonight, I believe at 7. And then tomorrow night, this is wild, I think this will be really fun and unique. Robert Redford will be reading poetry.
Mm.
Catherine Oppenheimer's dancers will be doing a dance that she has choreographed. At the same time, an Icelandic pianist named David Thor Jonsson will be playing the piano.
Will Björk be there?
I really, in spirit, you know?
Of course. She's everywhere.
Maybe we should just go with Björk hairdos and like confuse people.
And the swan thing.
Yeah. So that's at 7 p.m. and that's also at the Highland Theater tonight. But you could also just go to a $10 movie. There's just so many things on the schedule.
What's the name of the festival again?
Albuquerque Film and Media Experience. And you can read about that in New Mexico Magazine's June issue on page 68. It's called A Star-Powered Startup.
Nice. There's another Albuquerque event I want to tell people about. Khaled Hosseini, if I'm pronouncing his name right, the author of The Kite Runner, has a new book out. It's called And the Mountains Echoed. I've read it. It's very good. And he will be appearing on Sunday, June 9th at 7 p.m. at the UNM Student Union Ballroom. He'll be reading from his book and talking about his experiences, writing the books, working, doing humanitarian work in Afghanistan, where his books take place and where he's from. This is sponsored by UNM's English Department, and a $31 ticket includes one copy of his book and admission to the event.
Wow.
If you need more information, please go to www.bookworks.com, but that's BKWRKS.com.
Bookworks.
Yeah, exactly. Or you can Google Bookworks in Albuquerque, and I'm sure you'll find it.
He's a huge literary star, so that's a really big thing for
us. Yeah, I saw him on Meet the Press. The guy is everywhere.
Wow, awesome. Having book readings in ballrooms. Got to feel good.
Yeah.
The Museum of International Folk Art has a new show opening this weekend. And Sunday, July 9th, there will be a talk at 1 o'clock. And then from 2 to 4, kite making and flying.
I saw that.
For people ages 3 to 103. So if you're 104, I'm sorry, you have to stay home. Just kidding. But so that'll be fun. I think it's a great place to fly kites. And I think it's a great place to learn how to do so, especially with multiple generations involved.
I'm sure their kites obviously are beautiful too. And
yeah, they're the kites in the show are oftentimes, traditionally, these kites represent figures in folklore. They're very brightly painted, made with bamboo and a special kind of Japanese paper called washi. So I think it's going to be so much fun.
Did you write about that? You know a lot about kites.
I just have a really good short-term memory because I read them 10 minutes ago.
Excellent.
And I don't know a lot about kites. As a matter of fact, the one time I had a kite when I was a kid, it like got caught in a tree, and that was the end of that.
But you had fun while it lasted, I hope.
Yeah, that was 4 seconds.
Did you see the rain last night?
Yeah, it was great.
Hopefully it's growing things in our backyard.
That'd be nice. I felt like I was driving down to Albuquerque, and the raindrops were just like the size of grapefruits.
And you go, what is that? What is on my windshield?
Are these going to dent my car?
I was trying to do a segue, so I'm going to say it again.
Okay.
Hopefully it's growing things in our backyard.
Hopefully it is.
And the reason I say that is there's an author, Ellen Zakos, who's written a book called Backyard Foraging. She will be speaking at Collected Works Bookstore and Coffee House at 202 Galisteo on Sunday, June 9th at 11 a.m. That's this Sunday. And her new book is about what you can eat. Things like daylily buds and milkweed pods. They are delicious as well as nutritious. Mm. And you can eat these things.
They're the new apparently. Squash blossom.
Yeah. And the thing is, we don't have a lot of daylily buds and milkweed pods in our Santa Fe backyards, but hopefully Ellen Zakos, who is an ethnobotanist and horticulturist, will be able to point out some things we can eat.
That'd
here
be great.
In Santa Fe.
You know, you're like, what's for dinner?
It's faster than running
I
to Trader Joe's.
Really go look outside and get some milkweed pods. I just wonder what that tastes like. I mean, it sounds like maybe milky.
Milky. Aren't they prickly? I don't know. But
yeah, right. Put on your gloves.
I think I'll. You're more of a foodie than I am. I will.
I know.
If you want to try it, you can let me know, and
I'll do a little research.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Yeah, the foraging thing is fascinating. It's one of those things where I'm like, gotta learn more about that. June 8th through September 2nd in Taos. I'm gonna hopefully pronounce this correctly. Anger Irving Kaus on the Columbia River. Kaus is one of the big Taos painters, and the exhibition will feature paintings from his time on the in the Pacific Northwest. That's in the Kaus at the Kaus Foundation, and that's kausfoundation.org, and it's $9.
There's some theater going on in Santa Fe this weekend. Teatro Paraguas, a theater at 3205 Calle Marie, which I believe is down sort of in the Home Depot area,
okay,
for lack of a better landmark. Mm-hmm. They will be doing a play this weekend, presenting a play called Lady Blue's Dreams. This is June 7th and June 8th at 7:30 p.m. Lady Blue, Sor Maria de Agreda, was a 17th century Spanish nun, writer, geography, it just goes on, geographer, visionary, medium, and mystic.
Oh.
All of those things. And she located in New Mexico without ever leaving her cloistered convent in Agreda, Spain.
Huh.
She relocated here without ever leaving Spain.
Wow.
So that's a story that will be explained if you come see the play, how you can relocate without leaving Spain.
You can learn that and what milk pods taste like this weekend.
Exactly.
Another theatrical event is going to be put on by the Santa Fe Playhouse on June 13th. It's a Neil Simon play called Chapter 2. And I read that it's semi-autobiographical, which makes me think, what isn't of all the things he's done? But this
True.
Is a little bit more poignant because it was written in tribute to his wife, Marcia Mason, after her death. So that's at Santa Fe Playhouse. Admission's $10 to $25. And you can find out more at santafeplayhouse.org. A completely different thing you might want to check out is in the town or area of Torreon. And that's east of Los Alamos and north of Albuquerque. It's a really unique, awesome opportunity on the 8th and 9th, the Eastern Navajo Arts and Crafts Festival. So there will be silversmiths, weavers, potters, and jewelers. They will be there displaying and selling their work. You can ask them questions about how they do what they do. And I think it'll just be really, really great to get to one of those less known pockets of the state. And that's at the Torreon Star Lake Chapter House. And you can look that up on Google Maps, or you can call 505-731-2336 to find out more.
Tonight, there is a benefit for the Santa Fe Mountain Center. It's their second annual black and white party and silent auction at La Posada. The event starts at 8 p.m. and goes till midnight. It's advertised as the dance party of the summer and a fundraiser for the Mountain Center, which has a nationally recognized award-winning bullying prevention program and does that work throughout New Mexico.
Excellent.
It'll have DJ Federici, food, a cash bar, great auction items, and the Mountain Center is a great organization. If anyone wants to go to this event, please visit santafemc.org, santafemc.org.
That sounds like so much fun. In Albuquerque, those of you who are baseball fans are probably aware that the isotope season has started at Isotopes Park. I love going there with my family.
Mm-hmm.
We just have a blast watching the games. It's totally, it's big enough to feel legitimate. And
you're in a big city.
Right, but yet not with all the parking issues and the people ripping you off and telling you need to pay X amount to park here when that's not true.
Right.
The food's lots of fun. You've got your Asian noodles and your popcorn and your corn dogs and all those great...
And your regular hot dogs.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, what am I forgetting?
Ballpark Franks. Probably not,
but some
kind of...
They even have Bananas Foster.
They do?
Yeah, they make it for you right there. So I just love going with my family. Everyone has a blast. I'm not really a huge sports fan, but you don't have to be. And so June 14th through the 17th, the Isotopes are playing the Memphis Redbirds.
And I think there's a Fuego game tonight here in Santa Fe.
Right on.
Not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure. So
excellent.
Support our local
definitely
team.
Yeah, maybe you'll see one of those Fuego players in the Isotopes team next year. They do really well.
Hope so. Mm-hmm. On Sunday at 2:30, there is a talk about Jewish cinema, the history of Jewish cinema, the movies the moguls made, with a keynote talk by Marcia Torbin, the founding director of the Santa Fe Jewish Film Festival. This will be at the annual meeting of the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society at Beit Tikva, which is a congregation at 2230 Old Pecos Trail. That's Sunday, June 9th at 2:30. The talk will trace the course of Jewish cinema in the U.S. during the first half of the 20th century. The moguls, who were mostly Eastern European Jewish immigrants of the first generation, shaped an industry that is quintessentially American. For more information, let's see if I have a number. You can go to Gaon Books, that's GAONBOOKS.com.
Cool. I want to just give people a heads up about something happening on June 16th. It's an event very near and dear to New Mexico Magazine staff's heart because it's put on by the art director, Fabian West, and her husband, Chuck. It's called the Motorado Classic Motorcycle Show in El Dorado. It's on June 16th. It's the second annual juried show of pre-1984 motorcycles and scooters, and it benefits the Santa Fe Animal Shelter. Food and drink are prepared by our very beloved La Plancha, and drinks are provided by Santa Fe Brewing Company. And that's at La Tienda in El Dorado, which is just one exit north of Santa Fe on I-25. And you can go to motorado.org or call 505-466-0844 and just put that on your calendar for the 16th.
And Fabian and her husband put on the event?
They are animal lovers. They love dogs and cats and horses, and they also have motorcycles. And so they're really cool, and I love to support them in that, and also just to have a blast looking at the bikes and scooters and eating the delicious food and drinking some of that nice local beer.
Right. And I know Mary Charlotte usually does a Cat of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to say, I'm not prepared to do a Cat of the Week, but I'll get a Cat of the Week for next Friday.
Okay.
I'm sorry, cat lovers and dog lovers, but if you go to the Santa Fe Animal Shelter or the Española Valley Animal Shelter Humane Society, I'm sure there are cats and dogs there just waiting for you. I got mine there.
Oh, what's your cat's name?
I actually have a dog. Her name is Laika.
Oh, nice.
And she's named after the first dog that went into space. The Russians sent a dog into space before humans. So there you have it.
Excellent.
If you're heading up to Taos this weekend, I think Mumford & Sons is up there this weekend, so it's going to be pretty crowded. But if you're not a music fan and your poetry is more your thing, Amigos Bravos is celebrating 25 years with an event called Poets Read for the Rio. This is at Lenny Foster's Living Light Gallery on Kit Carson Road in Taos. It's tonight at 7, and it's free. Poets Read for the Rio will feature a mix of performances by poets of the page and spoken word poets. This is part of Amigos Bravos' art and activism program.
And on Tuesday, there are a couple opportunities for you open mic fans or audience members. There's an open mic at the Second Street Brewery at the Rail Yard, hosted by Case Tanner, from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. There's another open mic at Tiny's, which is 1005 St. Francis Drive, near the International Food Store on that little parking lot by Early Street.
Sure.
So that's going on as well. And if you'd like to either continue your activities or introduce yourself to the Argentine tango dance, which is very popular here, there's a milonga at El Mason on Tuesday that you're welcome to just watch or participate in from 7:30 to 11 p.m. And I believe that teachers are there to help. At the very least, it's a wonderful spectacle.
Do you tango?
I do not.
I do not either.
But, you know, I would love to learn how.
And and there are lots of tango lovers and salsa lovers and flamenco lovers in Santa Fe. So.
I know. I mean, I think flamenco is next on my list, to be perfectly honest. I love all that kind of percussive, like, emotional tapping.
Right. It looks fun.
Yeah.
Site Santa Fe has an opening this weekend. It's Site Lab, actually, at Site Santa Fe. Marco Brambilla Creation is the event that will be opening. This is a 3D video collage. It's a completion of his trilogy. And Creation presents a spectacle of more than 500 clips from a vast archive of iconic Hollywood and international films. Set within the form of a giant DNA double helix, Brambilla takes the viewer on a spiraling trajectory that begins with the Big Bang and continues through embryonic inception, bliss and decadence, and culminates in annihilation, I'm sorry to say. And this, again, is all told featuring 500 clips from iconic film. Everything's usually everything at Site is pretty interesting and thought-provoking, and I'm sure this will be too.
Yes, it sounds ambitious, but it also sounds like great.
Cool. It sounds cool. Yeah. And it opens tomorrow. Opening June 8th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. This exhibit will be on view till June 30th, and it's at Site Santa Fe. Do I have their address? It's on Paseo de Peralta. It's at 1606 Paseo de Peralta. For more information, go to sitesantafe.org.
Excellent. We were just talking about flamenco, and I see that tomorrow night at El Farol, there's a flamenco dinner show. That begins at 8 p.m. It's $25, and authentic Spanish music and dance accompanies an authentic Spanish meal at one of Santa Fe's like most popular and beloved locations.
Yes.
So I don't think you can lose with that. Another thing that I was just looking at Sunday at the New Mexico Museum of Art, one of our very big international art stars who happens to call New Mexico home, Judy Chicago, will be in conversation with Jane Gerhard. Gerard? There's a couple different spellings here, sorry. But Judy Chicago and Jane G will be discussing and signing Jane's book, The Dinner Party, Judy Chicago, and the Power of Popular Feminism. So that's Sunday at 2 p.m. at the New Mexico Museum of Art.
Judy Chicago.
That's right.
Up there with Judy Chicago is Helen Mirren. Helen Mirren, also very well known in her field, obviously. Helen Mirren played Queen Elizabeth II in the movie The Queen in 2006. Well, she's now starring in a new play by Peter Morgan, who also wrote the screenplay for The Queen. The Audience is the new play, and it will be broadcast in HD from London's National Theatre at the Lensic this coming Thursday, June 13th. Starts at 7. And again, you'll see Helen Mirren. I believe she just won in London an Olivier Award as Best Actress for playing this role. She's always great. The play is supposed to be great. Sold out in London. And see it at the Lensic next Thursday at 7.
I just love the way we don't have to jump on a plane over the pond to experience something like that. I mean, Helen Mirren is just so very popular. And so, and she's just riveting. So.
And yeah, to see her on the stage is kind of a rare treat. We see her in film, but
exactly.
Live, one take.
There's an energy on stage that you just don't get with film.
Yes. So. Tickets for that, as always, ticketsantafe.org or 988-1234.
And Sunday, if you'd like to get your sweat on, there's a moderate hike at Big Tasuki and Windsor Trails. And we talk about, in New Mexico Magazine, we just recently published the June issue, and our cover story was 25 Reasons to Love Santa Fe. And of course, Santa Fe has just got so much to love that we had to do another 25 reasons on the web. And one of those is Tasuque, and especially the hike at Big Tasuque. And so I would say enjoy this 3.5-mile hike to the Norske Trails with the Sierra Club Rio Grande chapter.
Meet some new people.
Exactly.
Take in some scenery.
Just call, and if you'd like to call for times, that number is 424-9242.
Another Taos event. Habitat for Humanity of Taos will be celebrating 20 years. And they'll dedicate a new site on June 12th, which I think is Wednesday. Mm-hmm. They'll have a dedication ceremony at 10 in the morning at the future site of their new administration building and the ReStore, which they're building thanks to a recent grant from the federal government, from HUD.
Great.
If you'd like more information on Habitat Humanity Taos, you can go to taoshabitat.org or call 575-758-7827. And we have a Habitat Chapter 2. Here in Santa Fe, I don't know their website, but Google Habitat Santa Fe and you can get involved and volunteer.
And if you need a piece of furniture, go to ReStore, because that's where I got most of this stuff.
Is it?
In my house. I love it. It's such a wonderful mix. You never know what you're going to find. Sometimes you'll say, wow, that's a little overpriced. But then other times you'll say, wow, that's really underpriced. And
grab it. You have to grab it.
Exactly. You can't think about it too much. So,
there's something going on at Iconic Coffee Shop
on
Lena Street.
I really want to go there.
I do too.
I used to go to it when it was the other...
The Treehouse.
Yeah. So it's but I haven't been to the new incarnation.
It's really great, and they have really good music. They play vinyl records.
Oh.
But usually you go there for coffee during the day. Well, this weekend they're having an evening event.
Okay.
It's Friday night, tonight, and Saturday night. And it is the album release party for Everusnik, and I hope I'm saying that correctly. I've heard them play before. It's a band.
Mm-hmm.
It's at Iconic Tonight, which is at 1600 Lena Street. It's a five-piece band. They'll be releasing their second full-length album, and there will be prizes for the best white and black outfits. Tickets are $10 to $20, and I think they're almost sold out. So if you want a ticket, call Iconic at 429-0996 or visit their website. Doors open for the event at 7, and the band goes on at 8. Tonight is a 21 and over show, which will feature adult beverages.
Oh, I was going to say, caffeine at night.
Yeah. I wonder, you can probably still...
How does that work with aging hipsters? I'm not sure.
Right.
Because we have a couple here.
A couple. You can... I was thinking that myself. You can... You probably can drink coffee, too. Tomorrow night's the all-ages show, where it will be all caffeine all the time.
Excellent. I'm looking at some more hikes in town. We've got a hike for those with MS at Santa Fe Canyon Preserve Trailhead at the intersection of Upper Canyon and Cerro Gordo Roads. This is a On the Move, which organizes hikes for those with multiple sclerosis and their families.
Hmm.
The hike is moderately difficult and not wheelchair accessible. You can email onthemovenm@gmail.com. to RSVP, and it's from 9 a.m. to noon, and I bet you'll see some hummingbirds up there.
I bet, which brings us right back. Right, it's all comes full circle to the hummingbird event at the Lensic tonight, which is free and starts at 7. That's just about all the time we have. If there's anything else we want to get in there, we certainly can.
I think I'm good. It was such a pleasure to be here. Please check out 25 Reasons to Love Santa Fe at nmmagazine.com and in between the covers of the June New Mexico Magazine.
And this is, of course, Candace Walsh, who is managing editor at New Mexico Magazine. This is her first time on Speaking of the Arts and one of my first times doing it, too.
I think we were okay.
I hope so. Yeah. Will you come back and do it again
is
the question.
Absolutely.
Great.
Unless there's like an outcry.
And we'll get you lots of caffeine next time.
That'd be great.
If that makes you feel good, it makes me feel good.
Yeah, I think I'll still have the caffeine afterwards as sort of a post-show thank you.
Thank you, Candace. Well, you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name's Diana Delling, sitting in for Mary Charlotte.